There's a moment so fast, so violent, so impossible that it rips the floorboards out from under your sense of reality. For author Renee Vavois, that moment happened when she was lying on a massage table, wrapped in nothing but a thin sheet, when a metal tray launched itself across the room as if hurled by an unseen force. No breeze, no contact, no explanation. Just a crash loud enough to make her heart stutter, followed by a quiet confession from the massage therapist. They've done that before, the men who never left this place. A Masonic temple, a lingering presence, and a woman who didn't believe in ghosts until one decided to announce itself with force. Tonight, Renee joins me to talk about the encounter that changed her worldview in an instant, and the astonishing stories of spirits, guardians, and glowing beings of light that followed her into the years ahead. Most people wait their whole life for proof. Renee got hers in one terrifying, undeniable instant. Joining me now on the Paranormal 360 is Renee Vavois. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dave. I'm really happy to be here.
So you've got a book coming out. We've got a link for it on today's program guide going into your connection to the supernatural and paranormal. Walk me back real quickly before that incident. You say that you were not really a believer. Was it that you weren't a believer, or you hadn't had your own experience yet? There are differences in that, right? We know people, and you've been to some of the events I've hosted, that they're believers, even though they've never had anything happen to them. And then right. You have people that have had multiple things happen to them, and they're still not believers. And they're trying to walk that fine line of always trying to make sense of the senseless.
You know, I agree with you. I find it amazing when people have amazing experiences, but they still don't believe. Now, I instantly believed because, quite frankly, there was no other explanation. It was impossible what I just witnessed. It broke the laws of physics. This thing flying across the room, nothing's near it. Before that, though, I had always been told ghosts were just stories made up, you know, kind of fairy tales. So, and like a lot of people in our society, that's, you know, what they believe because they have not had experiences. And until I had that experience, I thought, oh, they're just made up. I didn't think a lot about ghosts because they just weren't real, you know, ghost stories. And you look at the Hollywood movies and they're way over the top a lot of times.
What? They make stuff up in Hollywood movies? Get out of here, Renee.
And that kind of reemphasizes the fact ghosts aren't real. They're just made up.
Right.
So I didn't believe at all.
So that day, you're going in. Now you're going in for a massage. This was at an old Masonic temple?
I didn't know that when I went in. It was this beautiful old building in the city. And I love old buildings. I thought, oh, this is great. They have, you know, really good massages here. I'd heard good things about it. And I had this gift certificate to get a massage. And I'm like thrilled by that. So I had no idea what was going to happen.
When you walk into this building, I mean, does it give off an eerie vibe? Did you, even though you're not a believer, we can still get kind of, you know, creeped out by a place.
You know, that's a good question. I felt something about it because I always feel things about old things. My house is filled with antiques. I love old stuff. But I don't think it was that I was thinking, oh, it's haunted. It was more like, oh, it has a vibe. It has a feeling because it's old. I love this old place. My house is old. My house is 100 years old, you know,
all right.
And I like it.
Now, how long into this massage are you before things start to dramatically change your perception of reality?
Not about halfway through, maybe.
All right.
They gave me part of my massage.
You're in a nice, relaxed state at this point.
Yep.
You're succumbing to the massage, allowing your stresses to pour out and freedom reign. And then are you looking at the tray when it flings across the room?
Yeah, I'm kind of laying, looking around. I mean, I was laying on my stomach, but your head's to the side, you know. And so I did witness it. I mean, and you couldn't miss the sound of it. It was dramatic, super loud crash. And I was like, what? What?
How did the massage therapist respond to that when it initially happened?
It was funny because she was pretty nonchalant. She was like, oh, yeah, that's happened 2 or 3 times, always with women. It was like no big deal to her. She'd experienced it before, and she was very aware the place was haunted, which I had no idea.
So there's a few things I find really intriguing. I've visited a few Masonic lodges, former Masonic lodges, currently active Masonic lodges. And almost all of them seem to be haunted and hold these secrets, strange phenomena take place, and it seems very second nature to the Masons that I've spoken to about it. Now, couple that with the fact that you're working with somebody whose modality is energy work and helping you to heal. I've talked to many masseuse, dentists, and chiropractors. All three of those jobs seem to come with a bit of haunting detail. And I've had a few of them ask me, why do you think that is? And I said, well, listen, you're in a massage, you're working out muscles, you're releasing tensions, you're releasing pent-up fears and frustrations. And I think there are these little microbursts of energy that we release. And it might feed an environment, especially one that's already conducive to a haunting. And massage therapists, chiropractors really seem to have the highest level of this taking place. Dentists, of course, they have a kind of a different one. They will talk about people's anxieties and fears of being in the dentist chair and how little things will happen, but it almost seems more like PK, psychokinetic energy, like things flexing off of the patient, you know, making things on the tray flip off, because it's always when they kind of grip the arms of the dental chair and have these instances. So it's kind of interesting that all of this happens. Did you talk to her in depth about it, or was she just kind of nonchalant, makes that comment, and then just goes back about doing her work?
I did ask her about other things that had happened there, and I thought, I'm going to keep coming back here and see if I can have more adventures with these ghosts. They never made themselves known to me again there, but every time I'd go, I'd ask them, what else has happened lately? And I'd hear great stories about, you know, we heard this voices of a little girl in the bathroom and no one was in there. Or we were all in the basement together, but there were a few chairs at the back no one was sitting in. And suddenly a chair lifted up off the ground, flew across the room and smashed into the wall. You know, so they had lots of activity there, Dave.
Wow, that's pretty remarkable. That's not just like a glass sliding across the table. This things are lifting up and being thrown.
I could tell you lots more if you want to hear.
That's why I invited you on the show, Renee, is I want to hear more. But I do think it's interesting because Masonic lodges are primarily very masculine in nature. So it's not surprising to me that, again, she said that it happens when women are there, that it might be upsetting the balance of their sacred place, their home, that a woman is there and in an intimate way being massaged, you know, having this moment. So I wonder if that's part of it.
I agree.
We've only got about a minute and a half left together on this, but tease a little bit more of what else you've experienced or have heard about that.
About that place?
Yeah.
I talked to one of the security guards, and she said that every time she'd go by the elevators, and this was like a four-story building, the doors would open. Nobody there. She'd go up to the next floor. She's doing her rounds. As she walks by the elevator, the door's open. Nobody's there. She goes up to the next floor. Door's open. Nobody's there. Only when she walks by the elevator, and she's never pushed the button. And some of the security guards talk to the ghosts, try to make friends with them. They feel that they're there. They know they're there.
So. I like that. They're trying to make friends. Hey, you know, we're cool. Everything's good.
Yeah, don't do anything negative to me.
Yeah, that's that's amazing. And I'd like to hear from you. If you out there have been to your chiro, a massage therapist, a dental office, and something strange and supernatural seems to occur, email me, dave@paranormal60.com. That's dave@paranormal60.com. Tell me your story. Or if you are a dentist, a chiropractor, or a massage therapist who has had this kind of experience, I want to hear from you as well. When we come back, Renee Valois joins us, continues our talk. And a little bit later, we find out in hour two that monsters are real. Stay tuned for that on the Paranormal 360. Welcome back to the program, Paranormal 360, your home for all things strange and supernatural. I'm Dave Schrader, your host on this journey, and our guest this evening, Renee Valois, for the first hour, is talking to us about collecting ghosts and the type of phenomena that many of us are fascinated by, many of us have had experiences with, but only some of us will agree or admit to actually having had these kind of experiences. Once that door was open for you, once you witnessed seeing a metal tray in public in a place where there were other people fly off the table violently, was there that moment of brain break where you know what you saw, you know what you experienced, but it's like, there has to be some other explanation for this?
No, I never thought that because what I saw was impossible. I couldn't think of any other explanation that would solve it. And so my whole perspective of the universe just kind of weren't shifted sideways. I was like, what? What? If ghosts are real, what else is real that I thought was unreal? It kind of opened that door to make me go, oh, I got to look more into this. I got to find out more. And I went on a search. I went down that rabbit hole and kept going, never came back out, as I tell people.
So you said you wanted to keep coming back to this massage parlor for more activity of the paranormal ilk. Did your next encounter also happen there? Or did, now that you'd opened that door, did things start to appear to you more often? Did you start to realize you were in the presence of other energies aside from just being at the massage parlor?
Yeah, I didn't have more activity there, but I had lots more activity. I would go to haunted places and sometimes things would happen. I would buy antiques and sometimes I'd bring a ghost home. For instance, I got a Victorian push sleigh made for children to be pushed in the snow. And after I brought it home, actually even before I brought it home, I had put it in my car. I had to remove the handle to fit it into my car. And I was sitting there and the woman who had sold it to me walked back in her house. And I had a visor with a garage door opener on it that's clipped on. It was sitting down like that. It suddenly flies off and hits me hard on the forehead. Now, if it had fallen off normally, it would have fallen to the ground. And that would have been it. Instead, it literally, the clip should have gone down. It flew and hit me. I immediately knew there was a ghost associated with the sleigh. And I said, okay, if you want to come home with me, that's fine. But I don't want you causing any problems or else I'm going to kick you out of the house. You know, you got to be nice. Well, the ghost did cause some problems.
Let me ask you this real quick. I want to take you back for a second. And second of all, you are much like me. You're a hand talker, but your multiple rings are clacking together like chopsticks. Okay. So just be aware of that because we are getting a lot of clink, 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 clink.
Okay.
Once you had the experience and realized this, do you look back at other points in your life and realize, I think I've been around ghosts a lot more now that I realize they are real and I've dismissed things in the past? Do you feel that you have always had some kind of activity around you? Especially, it can't just have started once you had that moment that you suddenly find all the haunted objects to bring home.
Yeah, no, you're right. And it even goes back to my childhood in this house where I grew up in the 1920s. When I was a child, I would challenge myself to walk up the stairway in the dark by myself with no one up there. You come to the top of the stairway and turn right into the hallway. And I would feel a man standing in the doorway of my parents' room. I never saw him, but I felt him. I knew it was a man. He was standing there. But he'd always been there, and I'd been in the house since I was a baby. So as far as I knew, it was just the invisible man that came with the house. To me, that was not a ghost.
Okay.
A ghost was like Casper, the friendly ghost, a white being that flew through the air. This was an invisible presence, a man that just was associated with the house. So I'd walk down the hall and go to my bedroom. I didn't put that in the book. I didn't think of it as a ghost. But when this book was about to be published, I told my sister about it, and she shared a bedroom with me, and she said, oh, my God. I used to feel a man come and stand in the doorway of our bedroom, and I was terrified. She'd wake up in the middle of the night and pretend to be asleep, afraid he would come over. She was afraid of him. I was not. And then I learned in my late teens, I was arguing with my dad about suicide and how horrible it was and why would everyone ever do it. And he said, you don't know. There's so many reasons why people do it. And I was arguing with him because I knew everything in my teenage years, of course.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And finally he said, someone close committed suicide. And I was like, I thought it was his mom who had died young. He said, no, no, no. And I wouldn't let it go. And he finally said, the man who built this house in the 1920s committed suicide in it. So I believe the man my sister and I were sensing was the man who built our house, you know, decades before my parents bought it. They were only the second owners of the house. And they bought it shortly after he committed suicide. So I think he was hanging around for a while, but he was not malicious. I think he was just curious and wanted to see who was coming in. And then he left. He left. He did not stick around because as I got older, I didn't sense him there anymore. And I bought the house from my parents. I always loved the house. And I raised my kids there and they never had any kind of sense or experience there. So I think he was long gone. He did go into the light.
Renee, now we got to step it back a little bit again. I'm fascinated that, okay, as a child, I understand your rationalization that to you, it's not a ghost. It's just kind of an invisible man that lives there because you have no perspective to align it to.
Right.
Your version of a ghost is something from Scooby-Doo that's always Mad Mr. Johnson from the amusement park, right? Or Casper.
Yeah, Casper.
Floating around, right? So this was not a ghost. But as you grow up and we put aside childish notions, did you ever revisit those moments of thinking about that man, that invisible man? And how did that not play into your head that it was a ghost? You had ghostly encounters.
You know what? I never spoke about it to anyone in my house. My sister never spoke about her experiences, and I forgot about it. I didn't think about it. It just kind of went away over time. I didn't even think about it when I heard about the guy who had committed suicide. It didn't even come back to my mind. I totally forgot about it until my book was about to come out. So it's not even in the book. And I recalled it. And then I mentioned it to my sister, and then she said, oh yeah. And this happened with me, and we never had talked about it. And I've talked to a lot of people who grew up in haunted houses, and a lot of times they don't talk about it. Oddly enough, they won't tell other people what they're experiencing. And that might go back to that.
For fear that they're going to look crazy or sound
stupid. Oh yeah. Because after I had my experience, I thought, well, is nobody having these experiences? So I started going around and talking to people, crazy me, saying, I had a paranormal experience once. Has anything like that ever happened to you? And I was shocked, Dave, at how many people would say, I've never told anyone this because I was afraid they'd think I was crazy. And they would tell me the most extraordinary experience. And that's how I started collecting ghost stories, actually. I started writing them down. I wasn't planning to write a book at that moment, but I'm like, these are amazing stories. I want to remember them. So I started going back and typing them up. And so I ended up with a lot of them. A lot of people, apparently, most people in general society, not believers, don't believe in ghosts till they have an experience.
Right. Every skeptic is simply a believer who has yet to have their own experience, right?
Yeah.
Given that that opportunity. The book we keep mentioning on the show, and this is going to be out in January, correct?
It's actually already out. It came out this year.
Yeah. Okay, great. Collecting Spirits, Life with Ghosts, Guardians, and Guides, Renee Valois, the author of the book. There's a link for it on today's program guide. And as I always remind you, my friends, don't just read the book, rate and review the book. It will take you 10 seconds to give it 5 stars and say, wow, fantastic book. And I'll tell you what, even if you only give a book 3 to 4 stars or 1 star and a crummy review, it helps the authors, believe it or not, because it shows engagement, and that helps to expose books like this and the work that's going on from researchers and investigators and authors. It gives their books a bigger audience to be shared with. So please pick up a copy of the book, rate and review the book as well. When we come back, let's find out from our guest, she ever physically seen a ghost, not just sensed a man standing in the door, but physically seen something she would attribute to being a ghost. We'll discuss that next right here on Paranormal 360. They say seeing is believing, Renee, and that is a big element to the fascination with this field. And there are many people who are just happy to have heard a voice or have gotten a psychic premonition or a moment that seemed to alert them that they weren't alone. Maybe having that invisible man in their room, right? You had those kind of experiences, but have you ever actually seen or witnessed something ghostly with your eyes?
I have seen lots of poltergeist activity, lights going on and off, TVs going on and off, things opening and flying around and stuff, which is very fun. I have not seen someone I would say was a ghost. I have felt them. A psychic told me I was clairsentient, that I feel things more than I, you know, see them. And some people see ghosts very easily. I'm not one of those people. Apparently, I would love to see a ghost.
Have you ever seen a shadowy figure, not just out of the corner of your eye either, but something pass in front of you that is out of the ordinary, out of place?
No, out of the corner of the eye, maybe, but no, I haven't seen one straight on. No. And sometimes I'll get photos with some weird things in, as many people do, but that's not me seeing it. It's the camera catching something.
Let's talk about your next most profound event. When did it happen for you and what was it like?
Wow. There's a number of profound events that have happened. During COVID, I found out about a woman who can see ghosts, and I got on Zoom with her, and she was able to identify ghosts in my house. She described a man who was standing behind me as I was on Zoom, and I instantly knew it was a relative of mine who had died And then she was conversing with this person, you know, and he was telling her things that there's no way she could know. So that was a shock. I was like, okay, so some of the ghosts hanging around are relatives. That was amazing. It was kind of cool, but also surprising. I did not expect it. Other things that have happened were actually when I was at the Palmer House.
People that are not familiar with it, the Palmer House Hotel in Sauk Center, Minnesota, is one of America's most haunted hotels. It's been featured on Ghost Adventures, Dead Files, Haunted Hotels, My Paranormal Experience, My Ghost Experience. And it's one of our hidden gems that's not so hidden anymore in our great state of Minnesota. But talk to me a little bit about that experience.
Well, I was there for a weekend and we had built spirit boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to use it, of course, that night.
Let me just explain for the casual observer and listener here. Spirit box. A lot of people are going to immediately think we have got like a little cigar box that we can capture a spirit in. That's not a spirit box. They're a radio scanning machine. Basically, it's giving a template of white noise as it flips very quickly through existing radio stations, but not long enough for you to really get any, you know, spoken word, any music. You get just little beep, 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 kind of deals. So I just wanted to lay that out there so our broader audience has a better understanding mm-hmm. of it. But yeah, so we had Bill, and I was part of this event, Bill Chappell, who has created a lot of the different technology that's been used on many of the ghost shows, was there and had brought these along. Talk to us a little bit then about what your experience was like engaging with the spirit box.
Well, my husband was with me. We went into a room that was reputed to have children ghosts, and they had all these children's toys and books and such. Everyone else was in other locations that were exploring the place. And I said, well, let's use the spirit box. And I grabbed a book and my husband recorded all this. So we had it on, recorded, which is great. I said, would you like me to read you a book? And I heard a little child's voice say, yeah. And then I started talking on the book and asking them.
Now, did you hear this out loud or only yes. on a replay of a recorder?
I heard it on the spirit box out loud okay. as we were doing it. But he also caught it on the recorder because I went back and listened to it all later to make sure I got it accurate when I was writing right. it. I did put it in my book. And so I would ask him questions like, what's round? And they'd tell me that, you know, what's round in this picture? Or the pumpkin, you know, or which animal do you like best? Lamb. And I'd say, what noise does this animal make? And they'd say, bah, bah, do you like cats or dogs better? Dogs. And then I had said I had a cat, and then they said, and cats. So they were being nice to me. and then I asked a frog. I asked him about the sound this particular animal made, and they were talking about quacking. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense. It might have been like a frog or something. They were saying it said a quack, quack, quack. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. That's a duck. But later I went and looked it up, and a particular type of frog makes a quacking sound. I did not know that.
Really?
It sounds like a quack. I think it was the frog. Anyway, I was like, what? I wasn't making this up. Something was coming through that knew something. Sure. And I thought, these are country kids. They would know these animals really well, better than I know them. So it was a very fun conversation, and it sounded like kids talking on the spirit box.
Now, you've had a chance. How many times have you been? I know you've been to two of the events that I've hosted mm-hmm. at the Palmer House. Have you been there any other times on your own?
Yeah. my husband and I went there once or twice. Once when the owner was there, which was fun, because there were some other people there that were interested in what was going on. And so she brought an EMF out and showed us how she has a dress from the original woman who built the hotel or was there at the hotel and ran it. And when she put the meter near the dress, it went spiked way high. Now, we didn't have any particular haunted experience there, but there was, interesting evidence of someone. And I talked to someone, a friend who had been there, and they said when they were in the bar, they looked across the bar and a glass on a table flew across the counter and smashed into a wall and broke. Wow. So there was definite poltergeist activity they experienced. They were pretty excited about that.
Well, I'll tell you what, for listeners, last year we did an event there, and there was a young man having a birthday, and we had a little cake delivered to his table, and everybody was singing happy birthday. And as he's looking at them all and we're singing, when the song stops, the candle blows out by itself. And then he turns and looks at the candle, and nobody really paid attention to it at the time. And the young man didn't say anything. But if you go follow my Facebook page tonight, I'll go put that on my Facebook page so you can go see that. I think it's a really special, cool little moment, but there's been so many weird things that have happened there. Now, once you go to a place, you start to revisit these things. Do they start to recognize or make themselves more known to you, Renee?
You know, that's a good question. I mean, as far as the Palmer House, I haven't been there as many times as some people like you, so I don't know that they recognize me there, but I definitely get lots of little hits at home because we have ghosts that come through. I don't know if we have ghosts. I don't think we have ghosts that stay here all the time, but we definitely have ghosts that sneak through and visit. And like I said, that ghost with the push sleigh was here for a while. I don't know that they're still here. I got mad at them because of some of the things they were doing, even at work. I think they followed me to work because my phone started randomly calling people at work. I wasn't calling him. I called that tech guy. He said, there's no way this can happen. I said, can you make it stop? He goes, I have no idea how to make it stop. You know, and I kept having to apologize to people saying, I didn't call you. I'm sorry. My phone is just calling people. That was after I got the push sleigh.
We've got just a minute left here. Do you do things to proactively try to move these spirits on and get them out of your home, or do you just let them coexist with you?
I'm usually fine with them being here if they're behaving. If they're not, I will tell them they need to stop, or I'm going to banish their butts out of here. There's things you can do to make ghosts not want to stick around, that it's uncomfortable for them, and I know how to do that. And also, I will sometimes tell them where they can go if they're not sure how to go into the light. Because if they will go to a nearby funeral home or a place where there's a memorial service or a funeral in a cemetery, the light will be there for the person who just died, and they can go right into the light if they've lost their light.
Fascinating. Great information. The book, again, Collecting Spirits, Life with Ghosts, Guardians, and Guides. Renee Valois, our guest. Hold tight. We've got another segment together. We'll find out some more for more unusual and bizarre circumstances when it comes to the supernatural. You're not alone, my friends. The world around us is a mysterious place. You just have to pay attention. I love conversations like this. I love hearing from real people that have had real experiences and want to share this story. Because again, there are so many people that have had these kind of things happen to them that have watched in abject horror or awe and fascination to the different paranormal TV shows that have come out, but are still hiding in that paranormal closet themselves, afraid to come forward and discuss the type of things and activity that they've had. And it seems like most of the spirits you've come into contact with are very cordial in the sense that they've learned not to infringe or frighten or try to do things that are disruptive. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. For instance, I had a problem where, I mean, I have some reptiles that I keep and they have heating pads to keep them warm on one end. And there's a thermostat. And suddenly the heat was going way up. And I turned it down going, how the heck did that happen? That shouldn't be happening. A little while later, it did it three times before I yelled at the ghost and said, you think this is funny. Maybe you're trying to let me know you're here, but you could injure these animals or even kill them. I will not put up with it. You need to stop it or I'm going to get you out of here. Stop. Never happen again. So I think they didn't even know they were causing trouble. Probably they just said, ha ha ha, we'll do this instead of turning a light on.
That's pretty cool. Have you ever had an experience with an animal spirit?
Yes, I have.
Well, please feel free to share it.
we had a couple of cats that passed in 2017, late in 2017. One, I was holding her in my arms as we had to have her put down because she could no longer eat. She was on the verge of death. It was really sad. I just cried. A week later, I was sitting at my computer and I felt a cat rub against my leg. We no longer had any cats. I looked down and I thought, did I just imagine that? What? You know, so I didn't say anything to anyone. You know, I should have trusted myself. But a week later, my husband says, I don't know if I should tell you this or not, but I swear to God, I felt a cat rub against my leg and I forgot we no longer had a cat. And I went down, reached down to pet him and there was nothing there. I said, where were you sitting? He said, at the computer, exactly where I'd been sitting. And that's where the cats really want to get our attention because we're on the internet. We're not paying any attention to them. They'll always come over and try to get our attention when they're on the computer. So we only experienced that once each. So I think our beautiful little cat, she said goodbye to me. Then she said goodbye to my husband. And then she moved on.
You ever been truly frightened by the type of experiences that you've encountered?
No.
Great.
No, I haven't. I think because of Casper, the friendly ghost, I used to watch that as a kid. And I felt sorry for poor Casper. He wanted to be friends with people. And then as soon as they find out he's a ghost, they're like, running around screaming. I just feel like they're people without bodies. There's no reason to be afraid of them.
That's a beautiful sentiment. Exactly. Right there. They were once us. So yeah, there's nothing to be afraid of. And I know there are people who say, but sometimes they're scary. And I often tell people it depends on your variation of scary. Sometimes just seeing something can be scary. Doesn't mean that it was flaming skulls and, yeah, you know, blood pouring out of its eyes. Just denoting that, wow, there's something here, can be terrifying. But get past that, and sometimes the most miraculous things happen. Now, in your book, you talk about guardians and guides as well. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure we touch on that in these last few minutes that we have together. How do you differentiate between a ghost, a guardian, and a guide?
I think of guardians as spirits that were never human, like angels. Angels are the most widely known. And I've had some experience with that as well. And then spirit guides, I believe those are people who existed on Earth at one time, died and went to heaven, and they're advanced enough that they can be guides to the people down here. It's mm-hmm. like if you listen to your intuition, you might hear a voice telling you something in your head, and you just think you're thinking it. But it could well be a suggestion from one of these spirit guides who are here to help us to grow and develop and to guide us along and be less stressed in our life, to become the best people we are meant to be while we're here. So I do believe that I talk to my spirit guides a lot, and they are very helpful. I will often sit at the computer and type out questions and then type what comes to me. And it's usually way wiser than anything I would have come up with. And I believe it's my spirit guides. Now,
You don't believe you're tapping into a higher id, a higher consciousness of yourself, giving you the answers you probably already knew you needed to know?
You know, it's possible. It's my higher self. A lot of people believe we have a higher self that stays on the other side, partially at least, to help us. But I feel like I have these specific guides that I will talk to, and new ones can come and go at any time, depending on what you need. That's my belief, you know, and obviously other people have other beliefs, but it's been very helpful to me. And I learned about them from some really well-known psychic mediums who totally believe in spirit guides. I took some workshops and stuff that were really eye-opening. So that's my belief.
What advice do you want to give people in the last few minutes we have here together that might be having experiences or think that there's something going on around them and they're not sure what to do? Should I engage them? Will that encourage them to become more active? Should I shun them? Does that make them feel like they're lost and forgotten? What advice do you offer?
Well, if you want to get rid of them, you can say things like, boy, it would sure be nice if we would stop having this problem with this or whatever. I know a guy who did that. He said all his doors were opening in his cabinets in the kitchen. And he said, boy, it would sure be nice if the cabinet doors would quit opening. And they stopped doing it. If they're nice, they'll listen to you. You can also tell them, hey, this is my house. You need to leave. A lot of times that's enough. This is my house. It's not yours anymore. You need to go. You can also send them on to, like I said, the light. If you think they might be stuck, you can say, if you're not stuck, you can go into the light, go to this funeral home when there's a funeral, and you can find the light and go. There's lots of things you can do. You can also use white sage. A lot of people do burning of herbs in that, and you have to do it very extensively throughout your house. That won't necessarily get rid of every ghost, but it makes them very lethargic. And they have no energy. Yeah. And so but it wears off after a couple of weeks. So if they don't leave, then you're going to have to do it again. But if you do it enough times, they'll just get fed up and say, oh, I can't stand it here. And they'll leave. You know, that's for very stubborn ghosts. Sometimes the ghosts will leave after a single session of you saging or smudging the house.
Okay, well, I guess if they're getting the vibe from you, you don't want them there. You're uncomfortable with them being there. They just, why stay, right?
That could be part of it too.
Is there times that you think you've had a paranormal encounter only to find out that it was just, you know, the pipes banging in the wall or your husband farting in the other room, something very banal?
Well, we were up in the lake with my family. There's like a house that we kind of jointly own that was my parents at one time. And my brother had set timers that we weren't aware of. And we were all sitting in the table and he wasn't there. And suddenly the lights all went off. And we're like, oh my gosh, is that one of our beloved ones in spirit doing that? But I contacted my brother and he said, no, that's the timer I set going, turning the light off.
There is logic, folks. Yes. Collecting Spirits is the name of the book, Life with Ghosts, Guardians, and Guides. And what began with a flying metal tray became a lifelong journey into the hidden layers of reality, one that Renee never asked for but couldn't ignore once it stared her in the face. Her stories, well, they remind us that the paranormal isn't rare. It's just that most people are unprepared to admit that it happened to them. And the moment one person is brave enough to speak up, a flood of others finally feel safe enough to say, yeah, Something happened to me too.
Thank you, Dave.
If tonight proves anything, it's that the world is stranger, freakier, and far less predictable than the one we pretend to live in. And our next guest continues to prove that when we reveal monsters are real right here on Paranormal 360.